We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. The madness is here. No, we're not talking about basketball. We're talking about the CHGO Cubs podcast. Luke Stuckmeyer, Prospect High School. Ryan Herrera, Elk Grove High School. Cody Del Mendo.
Boondock High School.
Salmon Valley High.
That one. And the one and only Danny Rocket, Hersey High School. We have three mid-Suburban League District 214 students all on one podcast today.
And one guy from the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And one guy from the middle of nowhere.
From the boonies of Illinois.
Yeah.
So excited to have Danny on board, also known on Twitter as San Ranto or Sun Ranto, right?
As long as you are tweeting at me, I don't really care how you pronounce it.
That's right. He's gone from outsider to insider to outsider to insider. He's all with us. And he brought his guitar because he wrote us one of his famous parody songs, which we are going to play later in the show. We'll do a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely.
How you been doing?
We'll plug it in. Good, man. It's just like been busy all winter long. I've been watching this Cubs team kind of get pieced together over the. It's a whole different situation than it was last year, and I'm just kind of excited to see what we got, you know, going out. So we've been doing the Sun Ranto show and talking all about it every week, and as you guys have, probably talking about the exact same stuff. And I think as Cub fans, it's been interesting to be like, huh, this team might be all right, and then some other days you're like, huh, this team's not very good, is it? And then other days, you know, so I'm just excited for the season to start and, you know, get it out there. But and get winter over with. I'm done. Yeah. It hasn't been so bad. Not a lot of snow, but we're okay. You know, we got through it. We're in March, a couple weeks. 2 weeks from today.
That's it.
Opening day, Wrigley Field.
2 weeks from, like, literally right now.
Right now.
That's right. First pitch.
So yesterday I tweeted, hey, to all the countless season ticket holders who have let me know that if I ever want to buy tickets off them. Danny replied, said, reach out to him if you're ever in need of tickets, because he knows a lot of people, and he's not wrong about that. You do know a lot of people, and you're kind of like the – I feel like, in a way, you're just kind of the mayor of Cubs fans that, like, live at Wrigley Field, because
he's the Rocket
I feel
Fuse.
Like you go out of your way to try and get to know Cubs fans, not from just Cubs Twitter, but just, like, even ones who are at the ballpark who might not be on social media. You're just kind of like – that welcoming guy, and that's how I felt when I first met you, probably like a couple years ago. I can't remember, but
yeah, somewhere out in the bleachers over a couple of beers.
Yeah, definitely
Mai Tai guy running around.
Yeah. Right.
And trying to cut down a cup snake somewhere.
Yeah, chopping up some cup snakes, stealing balls from kids. Yeah, we do it all.
Yeah, just it's a vibe that I don't feel like you'd ever really see at other teams around the league. So what kind of like what Danny is about is what makes Cubs fandom unique, in my opinion. So it's awesome that you're here, dude.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you guys having me here. Like, you know, me and Luke worked together before, and we've been hanging out in the bleachers a little bit, talking about the Cubs. I love chopping it up with you guys. And so it'll be a good time. to just sitting here under the bright lights of CHGO.
Lil Yumper gave us a super chat saying, Danny Rocket. By the way, did I see that the Bleacher Bum Band will be playing on opening day?
Yeah, we're going to be over at Output Wrigleyville, which is it's just a little bit north of the field on Clark Street. We're going to go right after the game. We're hoping Bleacher Jeff stays sober enough to play. That's always the issue on opening day for a lot of people, not just him. And it was a lot of fun. Like last year, Jody Davis came. You know, like it was. Nice. You never know who's going to show up because there's everybody's around that day. And it's going to be a good rock show. It's free, so we'll probably start. Now that I think of it, post game it might be about 3:30, 3:45 when we start.
Nice
with the pitch clock, and the cold and the rain. It's going to be awesome. We'll do about an hour set and rock it out, and it's free, and just come on by. They got real good wings there, too, so eat those and watch us.
I've never
actually been to Output, but to be honest with you, the only bars that I've gone to north of Wrigley on Clark are Trace and Bernie's. Those are, like, the only two that I've consistently have gone to. So
yeah, no, Output's cool. They've been real good to us.
Law says Yoxies.
Yeah. G-Man. You know, there's a lot up there. And I live that way, so I always go that way. So, that place is really – they've been real good to us. They let us kind of do what we want in there. And that's important to a guy like me. Like, I can do what I want? Oh, sweet. Then I'll be over here. No, I don't like the rules so much, you know.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the good news that Seiya Suzuki playing a little catch?
All right.
And taking dry swings. Cody, what are dry swings?
Well, I assume they're not wet swings, Stuck. I mean, that was my first question was, what the hell is a dry swing? But I'm glad to see he's swinging the bat.
Yeah. The thing is, like, they still haven't confirmed he's out, but if we're 2 weeks out from opening day and he's barely starting to take dry swings, has he taken them today or he's going to? Whatever the update was, he's taking dry swings. He's taking non-contact swings.
Yeah.
If you expected him to be ready at the start of before opening day, like,
and obliques are weird too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you can just nag, and if you don't wait, you don't get it healed, and then you could be and they rushed it, and you just be right back on the shelf,
Well, that was Nico in 2021. I think he had the strain, and then like was coming back, and then like had tightness or something during a rehab game. Like, he tried to come back and then felt so. I think that's the way it went with strain, then tightness. But it was like that kept him out for a long part of the 2021 season when, he's as after Javi Baez gets traded, he wants to be the shortstop, and you're losing all that time to see what he's got because of the oblique. And so, tricky. And it's different for everyone.
Doug's taking this too seriously. Yes, a dry swing is one without any balls to hit. That is correct.
Yes.
I was today years old when I heard what a dry swing was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do want to point out, this is what happened to me yesterday, a scenario, a little off topic, I apologize. I'm driving home, and you get to that intersection, where you're in the express lanes, and then there's people on the other side, the slow lanes, and you're all merging, but then you've got to get over, because the express lanes are ending, or you're going up to Milwaukee. So I'm in line, I got my 15 cars in front of me, I'm just waiting to exit off back onto 90, and there's always a couple cars that want to push it and then want to zoom past everybody and then cut in at the last second.
You may have been seeing me do that.
And yeah, I see this Dodge Charger cut me off.
Mm. Was it?
Just as I'm thinking, boy, this guy in front of me is a Jag. And then another car goes by, black Dodge Charger, license plate starts with a CV, cuts in front of me, throws up the hand like a wave.
Wait, was that you?
It was me. And I just gave him this. I knew it was him the second he went by.
I saw this, but I didn't know that was him.
First car, I thought, well, this guy's a real jerk. And then I hear the vroom.
Okay, my car's
Dodge Charger comes rolling up. I just pulled down my sunglasses and looked like this out the front window. All I get from the hi, little wave.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all you got to do. There's people that don't do that. As long as you go,
cars
that
were waiting in line.
Yeah. You should do that more often. I saw the glasses tip. I didn't see that was you.
It was me.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Now, are you a shoulder guy too?
I saw it coming, so I wasn't mad. I wasn't thinking. The first car, I was thinking, man, some people, why do they
Why does everybody do this? Can't we all just act like human beings and get in line? I understand the cars from out of town that don't know how the road works. But once you've done it once or twice, you realize, well, sooner or later, I'm going to have to merge over.
We could have world peace with a zipper merge. If everybody would just understand that you went every other guy.
Yes.
You know.
Lucky for Ryan, I didn't have road rage, and I just let him carry on all the way back to Elk Grove.
Spin zone. That's this is the good part about living in the city, Danny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, I do
not. That's hilarious. I did not realize that was you.
I was behind you literally the whole way home.
You should have said something.
You were Ryan was also doing left lane, right lane, center lane, and I'd still be in the same lane.
He's trying to get away from you.
At least I'm not speeding anymore.
No, he wasn't speeding anymore.
Nick
by the
G
way,
says,
the cops are out.
Ryan Rude Herrera. I like that
Ryan
one.
Ryan Rude
I like that one.
He spoke Galata last name
says,
wrong,
hey, that so was me. No, it was not.
Next time Ryan pisses me off on the show, I'm just calling him, all right, Rude Herrera.
Dull Cardinal.
Galata probably was the first car. The first car really cut me off. Then I was like, all right, there's going to be two or three more coming. And then I saw the Shady Rays, actually, was the first thing I noticed. He's driving by with the Shady Rays on. And I was like, oh, that's Ryan. Sure enough.
I did have my Shady Rays on.
So then I got home, and I settled into a little WBC World Baseball Classic last night. And, hey, you wore the nice Puerto Rico hat.
Yeah, very man, nice. This is actually from Puerto Rico.
That's nice.
Right outside of Iram Bithorn Stadium, I got to go to the Caribbean World Series a couple years ago.
Oh, that's
with
cool.
My buddy Jose Orlando, he lives down there. And, man, I know you were watching on TV and seeing that electric kind of atmosphere where people playing all this, the cabasas and the shakers and everything. And that's what it was like at Iram Bithorn Stadium, except a smaller stadium, 15,000 maybe fit in there. It's like a Springs training stadium. But, man, oh, man, is it fun to watch these games? Well, at least the –
The game.
Game last night was fun, you know, until
the game
shut it off.
Yeah. So Edwin Diaz, first of all, grew a lot of extra fans last season with the whole Timmy Trumpet thing, right? Like we played Timmy Trumpet on the podcast, joked around about it.
Me and Luke made entrances with
and
it.
You watch them. Yeah, you watch them celebrate. I still like to do it every once in a while. But you're watching them all celebrate on the field. It's a cool moment for the World Baseball Classic. I'm not saying I'm getting swept up in World Baseball Classic fever. I'm definitely not. But that was a cooler moment. And then to see him get hurt and taken off on a wheelchair before it was all done. And today it comes out, torn tendon, likely out for the season. Just signed $100 million. Thank goodness he signed the $100 million deal.
Yeah.
Well, for him, yeah.
For him. Yeah, not for the Mets. For him. Thank goodness he didn't. It's not like he's not going to get the money.
Mets going to Met. You know, how that goes.
But it started right away on Twitter, all these people saying, this is why you don't want to play the World Baseball Classic. I thought it was – I can see how that's an early reaction to it. But, I mean, you can't blame the World Baseball Classic. The guy got hurt celebrating. Granted, he would not have been celebrating a Cactus League win. But you know what? He could have been washing his dishes and cut his finger like Quintana did, too. So what's the difference?
Or
putting his pants on like Brandon Morrow.
Or if he just got hurt playing in the game. It was a little different because like he was celebrating.
Yeah. Or jumping over the fence like Ryan Dempster.
Yeah. He could have been dancing in a bar afterwards. Yeah. It wouldn't have been any different.
How many dumb ways have you hurt yourself? Almost all the dumb ways.
The pulling up my pants and throwing out my back thing before. I thought it was very dumb when I heard it. Who was it? Was it Morrow that?
Yeah.
I think I heard that way, and then it happened to me. I'm like, okay.
This goes down.
And I'm not even as old as he was.
But the flip side is what, Cody?
Well,
which I understand this, too.
The flip side is like, the way I think of it when it happens, like, if he played for the Cubs, I would be probably as irrationally angry as Mets fans were last night. And I'm sorry. I care about the Cubs more than I do anything about the World Baseball Classic. I just do. I'm sorry. Like, that... You get the World Baseball Classic for 2 weeks. You get the Cubs for 162 games. And that's just how I feel about it. I think that the team that he's actually being paid to play for, I think it matters. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be playing in the World Baseball Classic. I'm not saying that they should not have it or whatever. All I'm saying is that is the risk of playing in it is an injury. And I know it was a freak accident. It didn't happen in the game because someone like tweeted at me last night, well, how would you feel if it would have been, say, Suzuki? Well, say Suzuki didn't even get hurt in a game. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
What's the difference? Either way, he's hurt.
Right. Yeah. Either way, he's hurt. I'm not saying that they shouldn't play in it. All I'm saying is that it's a risk, and if he did play for the Cubs, I would be irrationally angry about it because he's one of the highest paid players in the league. And, yeah, I know having a closer doesn't necessarily mean that – or losing your closer doesn't necessarily mean it's going to completely ruin your season, but if the Mets start blowing games early in the year in the ninth inning, you're going to look back to it and you're like, well, shit. So I don't necessarily blame Mets fans for being, like, angry about it. It's more of just, like, it just sucks because to me, I just think that MLB is – if not more important than WBC, it's as important as the WBC.
I would have been a lot madder if they would have, like, let's say, made him pitch three innings or something like that, or overused him.
Yes, that's a different way of being angry.
You know, then I would blame the WBC. Okay, this is not something that these guys should be participating in if they're going to get overused. This is not the playoffs,
and they're not
where you
doing
try
that.
To do that. Yeah, they're not doing that. So it is really more of a freak accident. But you know, I mean, the way I look at it is like, you know, accidents can happen any time, and it just is. And, like, you'd be mad and disappointed that you lost your closer, of course, but I don't think you can blame the tournament for something like that happening.
No.
You can blame the tournament if it's more even gameplay, like guy sliding into a base, playing too rough or something. But baseball's rough, man. People get hurt. And so,
and I'm not telling you to like the World Baseball Classic because, like I said, I'm a little meh about most of it anyway. I went to bed before the USA game was over. Didn't care if they won or not. That's okay. Do it however you want to do it. But I heard Herb saying it on the Sox podcast. Some of it is a little bit American of us because the Korea-Japan game got like 64 million viewers, which is more than World Series games. So it's not a nothing tournament to everybody. It is a nothing tournament to a lot of people in the United States. Yes, it is. Because we have the whole baseball season to watch most of these really good players then compete on teams that we really care about.
The biggest league for baseball is in America. I mean, it just is.
But so, I don't blame the injury thing on him. I understand why a Cubs fan would be hurt if, like you said, somebody was overused or they got hurt. But he could have been hurt doing the same thing if he was playing baseball in a Cactus League game. And what's the difference? Or in a workout like Seiya was.
No. Mm-hmm.
This is a little different because he was celebrating and he wouldn't celebrate.
Can I ask you guys a question?
League.
What do you think there would be a better time of year to do the World Baseball
Classic? We talked about it
yesterday.
Right?
Scherzer like, wants
not
to do
really
mid-season. It's crazy.
Unless you did like a two-week break in the season. But it wouldn't even be enough time for that.
What if you shorten the season?
That season?
Because season's long.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah,
that was my idea.
I mean, it's a long season as it is. You can play a shorter season. I know they probably want to do that anyway just to get more playoffs out of the deal. You know, it'd be basketball eventually. It'd be about 20 teams going to the tournament.
Yeah.
The round robin that they call the playoffs.
Yeah. Someone tweeted at me yesterday about maybe doing it after the season and like just do it in warm weather, whether you did it had one location in America in Arizona or California, whatever, and then two other locations in warm countries. So like in like November or December.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then you're talking about guys that are playing 162 grinding through a long ass season.
I agree.
And then going and continuing to play high level baseball.
They have to wait till the World Series guys are done.
So
when there's a break, what do they do?
Yeah. And then you're playing your, another
holidays.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it, and this is my stance on the WBC, I like it. I enjoy watching it. That the Puerto Rico DR game yesterday was awesome. And the fact that they changed it to FS2 when it was like in the ninth inning was unbelievable. It pissed me off because I looked and I'm like, what happened to the game? Like I looked away for a sec, looked back and I had to go find the game, but that's besides the point. I think the tournament's awesome. And the way I look at it is before the WBC, these players who are coming from all over the world didn't have a World Cup of baseball. Soccer has a World Cup, but it's been around since 1930, I think, was the first World Cup. That's why it's so huge in the world, is because, you know what, it has like a 75-year head start on the WBC. Now players from Venezuela, from Japan, like they all have this, right, that they can compete against the best players from other countries around the world. And that's why it means so much to those guys to represent, even if it's not their birth country, it's a place their parents are from or, you know, their family came from. That's why it's so important. Like Matt Mervis isn't from Israel, but he – you know, he's Jewish. I talked to him for a second about it. He was very happy and proud to be representing it because, you know, that's his family, right? That's where he came from. Same with the rest of these guys. Like Marcus Strome was Team USA, but his mom is Puerto Rican, so he was proud to represent Puerto Rico for
Take that, Keith Olbermann.
So all that said is the way I look at it is it means a lot to these players, and for people to be calling it meaningless exhibition, it's fake. Like, shut up. It's not. It doesn't mean anything when it goes to the World Series, but it means a lot more to these players than it does to you watching from your couch. It does.
I love it.
Same with the World Cup. The World Cup, if we're being honest, doesn't mean anything because these guys are playing in their different leagues and whatever.
Well, some of these teams, like Great Britain, you know, they're getting a few $100,000 just for qualifying. And so that's life-changing money for their baseball programs. And if you're trying to grow, like the MLB says they are, trying to grow to a worldwide product, like taking the Cubs and Cardinals to London and playing games down in Puerto Rico and Iran Bithorn Stadium, all over the Mexico City, I think they did. So if you want to do that, if you want to expand your sport, because, you know, that's the big complaint. It's on the decline. Mm-hmm. Well, then you got to do things like this World Baseball Classic and get the world into it, you know.
And it's like an MLB sanctioned event, I'm pretty sure. It's like they're partners with this. Like the whole thing is it's still an MLB event. And
feels
this
begrudging.
Is
a, they feel like begrudging partners but, to me. Like just so the vibe, you know, of it.
Again, I don't know. That whole narrative that this is a fake tournament and get rid of it, like, it's stupid. Give it 75 years and, you know, hopefully the WBC is at the level then as the World Cup is now. It could be. You don't know. It's only 16, 17 years old.
Again, my perspective on it is that I just feel like it's okay for Mets fans to be pissed off. And a lot of people were like on social media at least, it felt like people were going back and forth with like telling people that you shouldn't be upset that he wouldn't play in this. I'm telling you that it's okay to be upset, but also realize that it is that the tournament does mean something, but there is risk whenever teams let guys go. And all I will say is if star players start racking up injuries in this, whether it's through the game or post-celebration, I do think teams might actually start caring a little bit more. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. Shake your head all you want, Rude Herrera.
No.
All I'm saying is that if injuries do rack up, not saying it's going to, but if they do, I do think that teams would start to care a little bit
more. There were some
teams
that said no.
I mean, Canario had a horrible injury in the Dominican Winter League. I don't think the Cubs are going to stop letting players go play for that.
I said star players. If half of Team USA gets hurt,
I think that was more
the league is going to be upset.
I think they suggested it, though. Like, he said he was going to do it, and then they were like,
if he wanted to play, he would have played.
You need to – he could have, but they were like, you need to get acclimated with our system, our stuff, right?
That was him saying it. He said that he, when he signed, he realized that he wanted to be at spring training because he, because of all that, like he wanted to get acclimated, new team, new teammates, all that stuff.
I'll defend Cody to this distance. Yep. I think it's irrational the part about injuries could happen because they could happen anywhere. I will say this: you would put that theory to test if Shohei Ohtani were on the Cubs next time around, and he went to the World Baseball Classic and got hurt. I don't care if he sneezed and got hurt. If he was in somewhere other than Mesa, Arizona, and Shohei got hurt and was going to miss the season, then we would test how much everybody loves it.
At least we would have had three years.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be the World Baseball Classic's fault. I'm just saying the irrational fan would be angry.
Yeah. Again, the way I look at it, not you know, this is kind of going off that, but it's like I kind of compare it to Suzuki. Like you mentioned the oblique thing, that happened just during camp, right?
Yeah.
Had it been 2 weeks in the future at World Baseball Classic, would it have been any different? Like, people probably would have been outraged.
Well,
he wouldn't have been celebrating on the mound.
Yeah.
What?
He was celebrating on the mound when he got hurt.
We will never cry as bad as Mets fans. And that is the truth, too. Like, those guys just cry about everything. They could win the World Series and still be crying.
I would let any player that wanted to play. I understand the point of,
if it happens to your team, like, if you're upset, I wouldn't blame you because you'd probably be pissed that your favorite player, your top player got hurt. But a lot of the things, and I saw, you know, some guy from Barstool saying, I hope 29 other teams' top player gets injured in the World Baseball Classic.
Well, that's crazy.
And I'm like, KFC, shut the hell up.
Paul George broke his leg playing for Team USA in basketball.
In FIBA. It wasn't even the Olympics, I don't think. It was like a FIBA tournament.
Yeah.
Some guys just go through it. So, I mean, I get it. But I'm not saying that it's the World Baseball Classic's fault. I'm just saying it's okay to be pissed. And people were like yelling at people for being pissed about it. It's like, if the Cubs' best player got hurt in the World Baseball Classic, I'm going to be pissed about it. Sorry.
Yeah, but to be pissed at the tournament, yes, as opposed to, yeah, just to be disappointed.
Generally mad. The injury. And generally mad is okay. Makes sense, but to like call for the ending of the World Baseball Classic, no, doesn't
not,
make any
I'm
sense
not calling
to me.
For that. That,
then we are
we
great.
All agree on
agreement.
We've all settled in a happy place. We can all the agree that Ryan was wrong for cutting me off in traffic. And we can all agree the World Baseball Classic should continue.
Herrera,
I didn't do anything illegal. I didn't do anything illegal, I don't think.
Chicago, we've already got you covered for the best sports coverage for your favorite teams. Now we want you to get fitted out in the best sports gear around. Foco has you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north side, south side. Hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. Bright hoodies, like the one that San Ranto is wearing over there. Get decked out like DeMar with the apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, Foco. If you're looking for that perfect gift for the football fan in your life, Foco's got you covered with hoodies to fight the Lake Michigan breeze or to get you ready for opening day. Check out Foco.com. Click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. Cody, right before you get to DraftKings, we got a super chat from our guy Fernando, and I didn't want to mention hashtag Mike Dubs.
44 days left.
44 days left. WBC haters are mad that other countries have caught up and beat a team full of Major League Baseball players. It's not a given Team USA would win anymore. Go USA. Might be true, but baseball's a weird sport. They almost didn't qualify for the next round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they also had a cupcake round, too. I mean, they just, you know, they're playing some of the teams that barely got into it, you know. Meanwhile, you look at
Venezuela, Puerto Rico, and Dominican are all in the same
They made Cuba fly all the way to Japan to play, you know.
Yeah. And
they,
Dominican Republic's failed to qualify two times in a row, even though they'd be probably the favorite. Anyways, I'm sorry. Off track.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of CHGO and All City. Danny, I know you're really, really, really excited about the DraftKings Sportsbook coming to Wrigley Field.
Cha-ching! I'm sure I can't wait.
I know you really, really can't wait. I can't wait. NCAA tournament is going on right now. Just hit the under on Maryland and West Virginia. God bless the Big 12 and the Big 10. NBA, no sweat, same game parlays. MLB bets. You know I already bet the Cubs to win the division and to make the playoffs because I'm just a sicko. So, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and sign up with the code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
People are, that use DraftKings to bet on West Virginia are probably mad because they just missed a buzzer beater three to win it. Mm. Just missed it.
I did tell Sean. Sean took West Virginia. I told him to take the
under. Of
course
he did.
It was the safe play. And
of course he did.
We're 1-0. I'm 1-0.
Who did they play?
4-4 in the NCAA tournament total, but 1-0 today.
I think I had West Virginia.
It was Maryland. It was Maryland and West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. I took West Virginia. But I don't get any money.
You know you're going to win.
Exactly.
Rachel says, not sure I didn't do anything illegal is the defense you think it is, Ryan. Ha, ha, ha. Somebody also accused Cody of taking roids, but that's another podcast. All right, so the great Danny Rock.
I'm wearing a shirt under my sweatshirt. Like I don't know.
Do you look bigger?
I do yell a little bit, so I get what she's
saying. Well, it's a different seat. It's a different angle of you, too.
Yeah.
It's thrown everything off.
Big of us to let Danny sit on the end today.
We put Danny in a special chair because he brought his guitar, and he has, first of all, he's a musical genius. So he brought his guitar with, and he thought of he's a parody king, and he's got a parody song for us. He has to plug in, right?
Yeah, I
got to
plug in.
You're going to plug in. All right. We'll chat through this. We'll fill a little time. So he's got his guitar with us.
Barbara wanted us to mention Caleb Killian's play yesterday.
Caleb Killian.
The game got rained out, so there wasn't much to go on. Yeah. His first inning was
Ross was impressed. He says the command's been better, although he did have two walks in three innings.
Yeah, I mean, the first inning was four pitches. So it's like that. You can't really take anything from that. And wouldn't it get rained out after, like, the third or fourth inning, something like that? Like,
yeah, I think he was
they didn't make
three
it
innings
far.
Is what he finished.
But he was definitely working on his PFPs to make that catch.
Yes.
He was working
that
on
was
his
a
PFP.
Nice catch. It was.
And that was kind of the knock on Killian last year because I looked up his stats a little bit ago that, you know, he was a, his ERA was in like the ones and twos when he was with San Francisco, it was.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the Cubs, all of a sudden he's walking everybody. He's like, you know, he's got an ERA in the fours and fives. But I guess there was something going on with him physically and something wasn't right with him as far as the, like, the mechanics were going on. He's been better.
The stride? Is that what it was, Ryan, that he said it was? The stride was
off? Yeah, his stride had... I think he said he was landing a little more open than he usually did.
That's
what command was supposed to be something he was actually really good at. Right.
And it had come off like a knee issue that he something that might have tied into it too. So
yeah,
I think that was the main thing, was trying to.
He certainly looks the part though, doesn't he? Like big, tall, looks like a giant whip. You know, it's just like, you know,
that's how I'm described often.
I mean, no, I he was the one of the guys that I was the most excited about when the trades happened. Now, because when I looked him up, I was like, oh, this guy could maybe be an ace. Like, he could develop into this. And then, you know, then in practice,
he's definitely the easiest one to like get on board for, because he was the one that you thought you'd see sooner.
Yeah, and then it did. And then you see the Wisniewskis of the world, and surprise, surprise, Javier Assad coming out of the blue. Like, and I'm like, well, maybe Killy is behind those guys. At least it has been in practice.
You mean the ass man?
The ass man. Who was super impressive in the WBC?
Innings,
Sunday like, good experience. Yeah,
to spin zone, like anyone who's angry about the WBC, I do think it's great for, like, minor leaguers who are, you know, trying to get some experience. Owen Casey's a great example.
Best pitching he probably has ever faced in his life and did well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there it is.
All right, Danny, what do you got for us?
So, all right, so this
is the musical segment of the CHGO Cubs
podcast. You got my guitar? So you know this. We sing this one at Wrigley all the time, you know. Just I put new words to it for you guys. So, you know, it's all about CHGO. So.
Okay, all right.
Awesome.
Podcast, stream in the afternoon, it's a podcast. Corey, Brendan, and Luke, it's a podcast. Cody really likes shoes, beat writer Ryan Herrera. Podcast, a show everyone loves. Podcast, they're talking about the Cubs. Podcast, in the chat is Mike Dubs. They've even got Danny Rocket. Hey, that's me. It's fun to be on the CHGO. CHGO. Watching every game, at home or on the road, we are partying on Chugo. CHGO. It's fun to be on the CHGO. Got a YouTube stream and a Facebook field. They're the Cub fans at Wrigley Field. Podcast.
Oh.
Woo!
Danny Rocket. Danny Rocket. What a moment.
What a moment.
So, he vaulted himself into the top five moments in podcast history.
Easily.
I wrote the theme song for the Club 400 on the show, Stuart McVicker. I wrote his theme song too. Uh-huh. I've written a few themes. So like, Danny, write us a theme song. All right, I'm not going to get a theme song. So I got to do one for you guys. This one's already used.
This is the new like tweet video for like when the show is about to start.
That's right.
Instead of we'll use Jeremiah Paparocki every now and then. Now we have multiple. So every time we promote that the show's going to start, we have to tweet this now.
Jeremiah and I'll do a duet or something.
That was awesome,
man. We need to build a music video for it now.
Yeah. There you go.
Us in swimwear, walking on the beach. Yeah, I saw you doing
this. I was having trouble. I was thinking about it.
Oh, I got the old part perfectly.
I don't know how to do it.
G's weird.
G is kind of.
I was too
like
busy.
This,
like
right?
Yeah. I was too busy recording it on my own phone.
I can't even.
Cody was talking.
G, yeah.
C like this.
Well, and it would be from my. I'd have to be the C.
Yeah.
Like Pac Man.
There you go.
I guess I would have just put my
Ryan
arms
would be
up.
An H. Would be an H.
That'd be the G.
I'll do I'm a simple man.
Danny would be the O. Well, first of all, I've already decided we will play the show out with that again. So don't let the guitar go too far away.
No, like, I think we'll. I just we'll unplugged it, but it's easily plugged back in.
We'll Captain Tater Tot says, if this isn't your intro song going forward, you're doing it wrong. I mean, He might.
The Village people might have some problems with that. You know, they might be coming for their for their resids. You know what I mean?
Stu said on the podcast when he was with us last week that he believes for his when he raises $1 million for Club 400, he thinks that he's got Eddie Vedder lined up. Eddie has agreed to come play the big party. Now, my question would be is, what's it going to be like when he realizes that you're playing next to him?
Yeah, well, he Eddie can Vedder's open up for me. Excited. That's not a problem. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. No.
Right.
No, he Eddie's an awesome guy. You know, he hangs out, like, over at Ball Hawk Corner, like, right by the bleachers. Like, he's come out there a bunch. Bleacher Jeff was playing wiffle ball with him one night, you know.
Of course not.
Yeah, just like, you know, he's just like a dude, and he doesn't really want to be too special about anything. He doesn't treat – he doesn't big-time anybody, you know. So he seems like a good guy. But, no, Eddie's great. I mean, he's a real fan, too, you know.
Yeah.
He really loves it. Yeah. If Stu can get Javi out to his house, he could get Eddie Vedder. You know what I mean? Like,
that's,
I know.
That's true.
Yeah, Javi's cool. a big rock star in my book anyway. It's why it's what this hat's all about, you know.
How long did it take you to write that?
I don't know. 15 minutes, something like that.
That's,
you know,
unbelievable.
And that maybe not.
Minutes.
I changed a couple of lines. I had the line about your shoes and liking shoes. And then, but I just had Cody Del Mendo's shoes. But I was like, really like shoes is a better line. So yeah. I changed that. Then I, you know. Anyway, but
if you'll leave that, we would like to frame that.
No, you
it
can
on
keep
the,
it.
That'll go on the set in a frame. For a show,
absolutely.
At least once a week.
No, it's all you. It's
a theme song to the CHGO Cubs podcast.
Or we can just like tape it down here so we always have the lyrics when we sit. We
and we'll just start singing it.
Yeah. People are like, how do they remember all this?
After every Cubs win, we'll just sing
it. And you guys, anytime you guys need a parody song, I'm your man. I'll record it, send it in, come on down, sing it for you live, whatever you need, you know. I love
that's
it.
Good, man.
I got 3 points on who you got for Esteban Quiroz being picked as player of the game once. That's just an idea.
What? Where'd that come from?
We do player of the game.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And I picked Esteban Quiroz once. That was a 3-pointer. You ever heard of something that crazy?
He gave himself 3 points.
He gave himself 3 points.
He gave myself 3 points because who else is going to out of nowhere be like, I'll take Quiroz?
I heard you guys arguing about that on the show the other day. And I was, about the point discrepancies of stuff.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
What's your favorite parody song that you've written about the Cubs?
Oh, man. You know, it's like, yeah, that's really just tough because I really have written a lot. I used to write over on Bleed Cubby Blue, you know, the website. With Al Yell and SB Nation.
Yeah.
And so I used to do a lot over there. And like during that, you know, 15, 16, 17, I was writing stuff all the time. And I was like, I was always doing stuff. The one that really took off that people really loved was the most recent one anyway, that actually made it into a paper, a newspaper in Japan, was Seiya, which I did the Outkast song, Seiya,
yeah,
Seiya. And I did that song, and people went nuts for it. Like, we started singing it to some Japanese reporter, and she knew about it already because it had already been in Japan. And I was like, wow, we made it. You know, like, I guess I could go tour Japan now. And then Hayward was real big. That's Hey Jude parody. But you know what it is? If people already like the song,
yeah.
That's key. Because people suggest parodies to me all the time. I'm like, nobody knows that song. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a good parody. You got to do it. It's like, no, it's this Meat Puppet song. I'm like, nobody knows the Meat Puppets. Like, you know, I might know the Meat Puppets. Luke might know the Meat Puppets because we're old. But
one of my favorites is No Fighting in the Bleachers.
Yeah, well, that's an original.
No Fighting in the
Bleachers. But it's kind of an original. It's to the tune of Go Tell It on the Mountain, technically. You know.
You want to play that real quick?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, No Fighting the Bleachers. Why not? I mean, we got you here.
Yeah.
No Fighting the Bleachers. You also did the Correa one. Didn't you do Correa? Trying to get Correa here around Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, Christmas time we did.
The first time he was a free agent.
Gloria.
Correa.
Chelsea Stale, Christmas song.
Yeah.
Gloria.
But no fighting in the bleachers, first of all, is a great rule.
Okay.
In fact, I remember the biggest brawl that we saw from the bleachers last year.
Some
I think you were involved in trying to break it up.
I mean,
someone shoots.
Were you talking about when the guy went tumbling backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Snafu.
I actually had to put out a video of that guy going. I put it the whole video in reverse.
I think I remember
Crawley,
saying that. Actually.
Crawley actually took that video.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he did.
Yes. Crawley might have started it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's a lover, not a fighter. But so I took that thing and I just made a video of him going. And it just, it's way funnier in reverse, you know?
Yeah.
But the original no fighting in the bleachers guy, I took that video.
Yeah.
And okay. That was a bad fight. You know, it had a racial element to it. It was pretty ugly. It was nasty. But so what happened was with this tune is, so I'm going to L.A. the next day, and I'm staying with my friend Johnny. And the tweet blows up, you know, 30,000 views, 40,000 views, 50,000 views. It's making the news. It's in Indiana. It turns out the guy was a kicker for Northwestern or Northern University or something. So he's kicked off the team. Oh, everybody's geez. Mad. You know, I'm getting it. I'm getting people calling me, "Hey, can we use this footage? Can we use this footage?" I'm like, "Yeah, put him on. You know, I don't care. Yeah. You know, it's his fault for getting in the scrape. Yeah. So,
fair.
Yeah. So anyway, so I put it all out there, and I'm sitting on my at my friend's house. He's got a piano, so I sit down and I just sing, "There's no fighting in the bleachers. What did your mama teach you?" to the tune of "Go Tell It on the Mountain," and then everybody loved it. So we just rocked it up a little bit more. But I don't have to play the whole thing, but it's like, "There is no fighting in the bleachers. What did your mama teach ya? There is no fighting in the bleachers, so take that shit outside. There is no fighting in the bleachers. What did your mama teach ya? There is no fighting in the bleachers, so take that shit outside. You can get a suntan drink until you're drunk and rooting for the Cubs and having lots of fun and acting like a punk and watch him hit and run and show them all your love and celebrate and suffering. But you cannot fight, don't care who you don't like. Let's all have fun tonight. There is no fighting in the bleachers. What did your mama teach ya? There is no fighting in the bleachers, so take that shit outside."
That had a little, woo! Yeah.
That's half the song anyway.
That had a little Green Day to it. It sounded Green Day-esque.
It was my buddy, who I also went to Hersey High School with. I played him that song, and he goes, "Okay, Billy Joe." like, whatever. Yeah, I ripped it off of an old spiritual and the Green Day, you know, but good artist steal.
Rachel says she was at that fight, by the way, that we were talking about. That was her first Wrigley experience, was the fight in the bleachers. I forgot about that.
Man, Rachel. What a day. Yeah. That like stacks up with May 17th, the day Delmetrics was born.
The day Delmetrics was born.
Yeah.
It's an all-time day.
That was a big day.
All-time day.
Brent in the live chat on YouTube wants to know, is there a rocket bump comparable to a Yankovic bump? Weird Al Yankovic.
A bump?
I don't
like
know.
A ratings increase. Like
on like the song
bumped up, I'm assuming like a song gets played, then you remake it with something else, and then the original song now gets played more.
You know, I don't know. You'll
Why, for you instance, would YMCA get a huge boost? I don't know if
or
that's
you
true
have
not.
To ask Village People to see if this show like put them on the map finally.
Yeah. To a brand new audience.
Very good. and the band, again, is called Bleacher Bum Band.
Yeah, it's good. Bleacher Jeff. We got a brand new drummer, who I'm calling Tony Two Times. And we also got my childhood friend who went to Crystal Lake High School, actually. Right. And it's got Jarrett. He's our bass player. But the new drummer is freaking awesome. So I'm really excited for opening day because it's the best we've sounded. So I'm super excited. Yeah, it's going to be such a fun. We got a CD, new CD coming out too on. I think we're going to do it on June the 17th, if that's the Saturday there, over at Nisei Lounge. We're going to do a big CD release party. Got new songs called like "The Cubs of '69," "Steve Garvey's Hairy Arms," "Damn Steve Bartman." Arms. It was all his fault. Like that's a good one. You know, that's another punk one. So it's like this one like runs the gamut of like funk to punk to like little country. Oh, I got a song. Do you remember the game? I think it was last year. The game in which Bleacher Jeff was, it was
the
raining.
Seat. Somebody
yeah,
told us seat.
Somebody stole his seat.
We talked about it for like 20 minutes. On that show.
I love, you know.
So I wrote a song called "The Ballad of Poncho Boy." And it's all about the guy in his little poncho sitting in the front seat and not leaving. Because, you know, he sat there for 5 hours straight in the rain.
Didn't leave.
Yeah, and just he would not leave. He didn't get up to pee or get a beer or a chicken sandwich or nothing. And he just sat there as Jeff stood above him, just being like, bro, just let me sit there.
It's on principle. On principle, he didn't leave.
I wrote a song called The Ballad of Pancho Boy. That'll be on this next album, too. So it's a lot of fun. Because, I mean, I got to give the guy some props for
5 hours
there.
In the rain.
Yeah, all day. That's the chorus, you know. Oh, he sat there in the rain for 7 hours straight. He sat right through the weather that had made the game delayed. Like, it's going to be it's going to be a banger. I can't
wait. That was, like, one of the more, like, talked about stories related to the Cubs last year.
It really was. Which says more about the Cubs.
Yeah.
No, it was funny, and it's like, and then it gets into the rules of the bleachers. You know, it's like, oh, you're not supposed to save seats, but people do, and you're not. You know, there are certain protocols. But the thing, I don't know if you guys know this, but the 2 weeks prior, in the bleachers, Jeff had been saving seats, and the guy wanted the seats. He said, "No, I'm saving these for my friends, and they're coming, and I'm here. We are not allowed to save seats." So he got mad about it. So he plotted for 2 weeks straight.
Oh, this
to
is, this is
I'm
going
to go back
I'm
to this game. It's this dude from Iowa, and he comes back to the game, and he runs like a bat out of hell up to Jeff's seats. And there's plenty of seats that you could have at that point 2 hours before the ball game, but he wanted those particular seats, and he went and took them. And now when that happens, Jeff will go up there and be like, "Hey, I'll buy you a couple beers. If you let me, I sit here every day. Like, I'm friends with Ian Happ. Like, just let me sit here." Then usually people are like, "Oh, a couple beers? That's like $30."
Yeah. Sure.
You'll take it. So, but not this guy.
Was this guy's name Larry David? Was it Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm? It sounds like a
I don't know
Curb
what was
episode.
Under that poncho, but it was, or who was under, but I feel more bad for his wife or girlfriend that was sitting there with him because she made
rain.
Her do it too.
I have a new respect for this guy.
Yeah.
The fact that he held that grudge for 2 weeks
and
then executed
this
his plan.
This is kind of the
harmlessly.
Like this, we didn't really fully know the story. I just remember when we talked about it, I was like, because the Cubs weren't good, and we're like, well, there's a story on Cubs Twitter today talking about people like hoarding seats and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to understand. Like,
it was raining. There was nobody even there.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had a million seats. You could have gone in box seats if you wanted to. You could have sat right behind the Cubs dugout by sneaking past the usher. But, like, you don't know. I want that big seat.
I remember we went all in depth about, oh, it's different here, guys. Like,
that's right. We did.
Yeah. And so, no, now this is kind of like news to me, at least. Like, I never really knew the entire story. I just knew, like, people were going back and forth about how you don't, like, about people not being able to save seats or
whatever. There were Mets fans involved at a point. Like, you know, and Jeff had to block a bunch of people. And, it was a mess. And I told him, because my tie guy was coming in there too. And I was like, it's like, you guys, you never learn. Just shut up. Like, just put it down for like 2 days and it'll all be over.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you got to do. But, you know, they were having fun too, I think.
The blueprint you just put out there now. If you want free beers at Wrigley, take Bleacher Jeff's seat when you get to the bleachers.
That's what
I
do.
Get it done. That's what I do. Hey, I had a guy on Twitter, Ron, ask, would you take Ian Happ for Matt Chapman at the trade deadline? Because the Blue Jays have a top prospect coming up. He's a 29, third baseman.
What's Chapman's contract and all that stuff?
He's going to be a free agent after
But we got Nick Madrigal. Sorry, this is
Corey's probably watching the show right now. Yeah. He was in the chat, and everyone knows how Corey feels about Nick Madrigal.
Yeah.
I mean, don't we have like 75 McBoatstrabonagles? Like, we got all the guys.
Yeah.
We got Bodie. Yeah. We got McKinstry. Who had two hits last night that got a race because of the rain.
Yep.
You got...
still counting our heart, though.
Madrigal,
you got Morel could play it.
Wisdom.
Yeah, I forget about the actual third baseman we have. He hasn't been out there too much, has he?
Not as much. Well, I think they know what they have, right?
Yeah.
So you might as well see what the other guys...
Yeah. I think he may be also in the right field mix. Suzuki's not going to be ready for opening day. Depending on when he's healthy, obviously, but I think he's part of that mix.
Ryan thinks Morel's going to start in AAA now.
Yeah. Which is sad because he's, like, my favorite, you know. Yeah. But
he's
an
easy fan favorite, yeah.
Yeah. He's super nice. He came and saw Bleacher Bump Band. He came down to Nisei Lounge and was hanging out.
Really?
And just, totally cool dude. one night he was, you know, Sarah Sanchez, who writes on Bleed Cubby Blue. I walked her home to her apartment, and Morel actually lives right by there. So he comes home, he's on his scooter. He just sat there and talked with us for a little bit. Just like, that's why I'm like, not him. Don't send him down. Like, yeah. I know it has nothing to do with baseball reasons, but the guy's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Barb says, don't forget about Rios. Well, that is true.
Ooh, yeah,
true.
Rios too. Corner guy, corner infield.
I do want to tell you, first of all, new lights at Wrigley Field this year. You're going to notice the difference. And the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, public sector customers of all sizes in our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights. Learn about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor, outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. Visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz right now to start saving money and energy. And to start a project, contact them at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email business EE at ComEd.com or public sector EE at ComEd.com. And fantasy season is almost here too, Ryan.
I was going to say, if you sit in Bleacher Jeff's seat, you probably will have a really, really good view of the new lights that they put in at Wrigley if they're powered by ComEd. But, yeah, so it's baseball season. We're talking about RotoWire. Get your latest fantasy baseball news from RotoWire, a pioneer of fantasy sports for over 25 years. Cheat sheets, custom player rankings fit all leagues, like rotisserie points, 10 category, 30 category, etc. Let their experts analyze all the wild baseball stats for you. If you don't know what WRC Plus is, barrel rate, sleepers, they can do it for you. Mock drafts galore, ask the expert function, premium draft, fantasy draft kits, custom start slash sit, add drop, trade advice, lineup optimizers, it's all included. You get access to fantasy, DFS, daily fantasy sports, and sports betting articles. And it's not just baseball. You get fantasy advice on everything from golf to soccer to NASCAR to the XFL, and the list goes on and on. But the main thing is, for a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free two-day trial to our to their listeners. Just go to rotowire.com/CHGO to register. No commitment. They are so confident they'll like their product and want to invest in a subscription plan that they don't even ask for a credit card up front. So take a peek behind the paywall, and when the trial is done, you can decide if a RotoWire package is right for you.
Danny, you ever done? Do you do fantasy baseball?
Nah, man. I got, you know, Cubs take up all my time. Just like doing Sunranto show.
Then we had Eric on from RotoWire, and he was like, well, there's different types of leagues. You can do just like fantasy football and do one where you only set your lineup once a week.
Yeah, my base player's in just an NL league. So they don't even deal with NL. So he's like, that's fine because I watch the Cubs and that's more who they play. Now that's not the case. It still is a little bit, but not as much. No, I never got into the fantasy thing. You know, it's just like, it seems fun. Like, everybody's doing it all the time, but, you know, it's just, it's one more thing to suck my time up out of my life, you know?
Well, when you're writing parody songs 24/7,
I need that 15 minutes to, you know, put out this magic.
Niren, one of our buddies in the chat, who I haven't seen here yet today, by the way. Mike Dubs says he's very late and he's sad to be leaving Arizona, and he also just missed his name being dropped in a parody song by Danny Rocket.
You better back and listen.
Me, because of our agreement, he did the $50 super chat. I now mentioned 50 straight shows. Mike Dubs is a hero.
Yeah.
Mike Dubs is a hero.
Mike Dubs, very cool guy. I love that new gif that he's using all the time.
Yeah, whenever the Cubs win.
Yeah, it looks like he's in a John Woo film all of a sudden. He's
I did tell him, though, that like the running down the street thing is undefeated.
Classic. Yeah.
I think it's
classic.
I think once the season actually starts, he's got to go back to something related to that. I think if he wants to up it one, like going, like sprinting down the street with no shirt on with the flag would be cool, just because I think that would just be hilarious. But, you know, whatever. Something related to that will be just fine. But, yeah, you're right. Cool dude. Met him last year at Murphy's for the first time.
Yeah.
Really nice thing.
Super cool guy. Yeah. That's why I put him in the song.
Yeah, it was good.
Friend of the program.
And
day one.
I didn't know, if I had known he was going to be in the song, then I wouldn't have had to put the drop in of Mike Dubs, but he got a 2-for-1 today. Yeah. Danny was telling us before we went on the podcast, we're using special microphones. I didn't realize these are like legit microphones. You claim Michael Jackson
used this
the same type of microphone?
Yeah, not SM7B, the same microphone, but same Shure brand. SM7B, and Shure, by the way, local company too, Chicago company. Oh, okay. So you're buying local with these things, but no, these things got so popular recently, and you know, but that's how they sell it to you at Guitar Center. They're like, well, you got to get this one. Michael Jackson recorded Thriller. And I'm like, oh my God, I'll be like Michael Jackson. You know, so I got to get this thing. So I've been using one of these for years. But now I might steal this one because like my foam is all coming off. The top is ripped off because I've had it for probably like 9 years or something like that. Wow. So, not a great microphone, though.
I wonder if you go back and they're still using the Michael Jackson line. Like, if you go back, like, oh, I need a mic. Like, oh, you should use this one.
If they decided to go with a different artist. Yeah, you know, Sheryl Crow used this. Yeah.
Well, now everybody's using it. Oh, now all your favorite podcasters are using it. This is the mic.
CHGO is using these mics.
CHGO is using these mics. Yeah.
They got a USB version of this now, too. Like, man, they're going all out.
That's how far Michael Jackson's popularity has fallen.
Exactly.
Now the CHGO Cubs podcast is using it.
Trending up, baby.
And I was trying to tell Danny, this building that we're doing the CHGO Cubs podcast in and all our CHGO podcasts has a musical history because Ludacris filmed a music video in this building. See, and this was like his office for a while.
I don't know if I ever heard that. But
Leather couch that I almost fall asleep on in about the seventh inning every day.
When it's 19-8.
That was here when we got here and apparently is in the Ludacris video. I don't know what it is.
I wouldn't sit on that too much.
It's got to pull out. It's got to pull out bed. It's got to pull out bed.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
Doug says you may not all understand it, but these mics are really spendy.
Yes.
That's what we've been told.
Yeah. Sources say.
Hey, did you see Sportico says that the Cubs' worth as a franchise has gone up? They're now worth $4.69 billion, according to Sportico, fourth most expensive franchise. Revenue up $60 million from 21 to 22. And the amazing part about that, though, is attendance was lower than it has been since, what was it, like 90?
98.
Yeah. So even with, people always say during the teardowns, don't go to the ballpark because it's going to lead to them finding out that this is serious. Well, people didn't go to the ballpark last year, and they made $60 million more than they did the year before.
It's wild.
Huh.
Beer was higher. Beer was a lot higher.
They raised like the beer $14. Prices.
It was like $50,000 cup snakes that I'm chopping down out there. It's true. I mean, and 15 bucks for like a Budweiser, you know, with the tip and the tax and everything. So I think that's where some of that's coming from.
Food, obviously.
Yeah, the premium. They still get the premium tickets, you know, with the clubs and things. And
so you don't like the wave, but you don't like the cup snake based on.
You know what? I'm a cup snake agnostic. I mean, it's like, you know, do I want dip spit all dripping on me and stuff? No. Do I participate in them? No. I do because I chop them. You know, hey, you can stack them. I can whack them. That's what I say. But it's like it's, you know, it does interfere with people's enjoyment of the game. You're in a blowout. You know, who cares? It's 10-2. It's the eighth. Like, make your stupid snake. But if it's like 2-1 and it's like this tight moment in the game, like, what are you there to do, really? Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, then
I don't want somebody's backwash or spit, like you said, dripping down on me.
Well, that's one of the things is like when Luke's falling asleep on the couch in the summer because it's like a blowout, then it makes sense to do a cup snake because you need something to do.
Here. Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of the game's over.
That's kind of how I've always felt about it. When people ask me about it, I'm very like, well, the pro of it is you don't see it at any other ballpark in baseball, really. And, you know, it brings fans together, considering. But also, like, I've ran into way too many drunk people. Like, they're clearly just there being drunk and not watching the game. And, like, they can get a little annoying.
Well, it starts fights.
Because
they're building it, and some guy doesn't want it by him, and all of a sudden he's getting spilled on his nice new jacket or something.
Right.
You know, people dressing.
I just remember like a year or two ago, like when the Cubs finally let fans do it again, because for a while they like banned it, but when they brought it back, there was a lot of discourse related to it on social media. And I don't know, I felt like the discourse was like people were fighting about the wrong thing related to it, in my opinion. But because to me, it's like, well, let people just have their fun. And it's just always been kind of a thing at Wrigley before they like got rid of it for whatever reason. But also at the same time, like, be respectful. Don't be a dumbass. So, yeah.
I don't know. First of all, the whole plastic cup thing bothers me because when I first started going to Cubs games, the smell that made me remind myself that I was at Wrigley Field was some guy smoking a cigarette, like, two rows in front of me, and then the smell of onions coming up the stairs, right? Cigarettes and onions were the smell of Cubs baseball for me, and the sound of Cubs baseball was throughout the game the popping of the paper cups.
Yeah.
You know, some kid that collected 35 paper cups and was just stomping them on one of the ramps over and over and over. And then I became that kid for a while.
We used to have a guy.
And you're mad at me for cutting in through traffic a little bit?
Yes.
We used to have a guy, and this was I lived in New York for many years, but at the old Shea Stadium, there was a guy that you could go to, and they had paper cups still. This was like in the late 90s. And you'd get your paper cup, and he'd be like, just come on back. I'll fill it up for, like, $3 or something, like, because they would just count cups, you know? So that was our scam. We'd go back over there. He'd fill up our cup. And we'd go back there and be dripping out the bottom of the paper cup. This thing on his last legs. We're trying to drink it. So, the plastic bothers me just from that's a lot of plastic to be thrown away.
Mm-hmm. There's no way. Yeah, if you've ever watched them, I've seen them clean up Wrigley many times. It's so disgusting by the end, ballpark. Well, by the end of the day, they're not recycling the cups.
No.
They're not going through it and be like, well, let's find the plastic cup. It's all just getting chugged.
That's why we should bring in our own booze and bring it out, you know?
Can you imagine?
lose way too much money. Bring in his own Taco Bell before. Yeah.
They lose way too
much. You can bring in your own food, though. A lot of people don't know
it's like
that.
It's an underrated thing that no one realizes.
Wait, what?
That's how my family did it. We brought a bag with peanut butter sandwiches, and mom had a thing of water. Like, we brought our own water.
Yeah, and you can still do that as long as you don't take the top off.
Yeah, it has
off.
To be, like, unopened.
Yeah, and it can't be booze. That's the other part.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
All right, it was fun hanging with Danny Rocket. First of all, we want you to come back again because we had a great time.
Anytime.
Bleacher Bum Band opening day is going to be where?
Output Wrigleyville, just a couple blocks, actually just one block, really, north on Clark Street, right after the game. So come on over there. It's free.
After the game.
After the game.
And the San Ranto podcast.
Yeah, San Ranto show. We go usually Thursday nights. We have a lot of events throughout the year. So if you follow me on Twitter, I'll be talking about it, and you hang out with my merry band of pranksters. You're all welcome.
It was fun. We definitely want to do it again. Hopefully when we have some of these events around Wrigley, we'll be able to see you there too.
Yeah. Well, why don't you have Bleacher Bum Band come out and rock your event?
You're talking.
We'll
tear down the walls. Talking.
We don't know where yet, but it is kind of around. It's rumored that we might be remote. Around. Live for opening day.
Sources have said.
So pregame, not postgame, so we could coexist perfectly in harmony.
Exactly.
And Barb says maybe we bring sandwiches from the Yum Yum Donut Shop, which I think might be difficult, but
could be.
All right, you going to play us out, by the way?
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
get us ready. Thank you for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Brendan and Corey have a podcast coming for you on Friday. We'll be back with more live podcasts, of course, 120 on Monday. And now we have a theme song, thanks to our friend Danny Rocket.
Podcast, stream in the afternoon. It's a podcast, Corey, Brendan, and Luke. Podcast, Cody really likes shoes. Beat writer, Ryan Herrera. Podcast. A show everyone loves. Podcast. Podcast.